Hey, it's Molly, and the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is officially my gift of the year. Gift one or get one for yourself. The DrinkWorks Home Bar makes over 30 bar-quality cocktails literally at the push of a button. Check it out at DrinkWorks.com and see all available drinks like the all-new Top Shelf Collection featuring Gentleman Jack Manhattans and Chambord French Martinis. Oh, so good. The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is my gift of the year. Visit DrinkWorks.com today. Cheers.
Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. used under license. DrinkWorks. Please enjoy responsibly.
There was ever an opportunity at Notre Dame that he would take it seriously, but Brian Kelly ain't going nowhere. He's not going anywhere for a while, and I'm sure that there will be some fits to Michigan type stuff that goes on over the next couple of months because of what's going on with Jim Harbaugh. And I know that there are a lot of people who think that Fitz might make a great NFL coach because of the CEO aspect of what he does.
But look at his life. He's working. Look at the people who are there. Every day, if you know your bosses are Jim Phillips and Mike Polisky, if you got the top of the line facilities, why would you ever leave that? I mean, these great working relationships he has with some of the nicest people in the business of college sports, some of the smartest people in the business of college sports, and every day, that's your workplace, that's your office, and your expectations are reasonable, and you get all the upside of being able to coach kids who aren't necessarily blinded by NFL dreams. You know, it's great. I just, there are the question. This is what I would wonder. If, and this is just me being a sports talk show host because I'm a dope.
Okay, great.
If George McCaskey asked the question, if he drove up the road and said, "Hey, Fitz, would you? And what would it take?" That's your sports radio question.
Okay, well, let's play with this a little bit if you've got some time. Can what Pat Fitzgerald does at Northwestern be translated to the NFL?
The motivational stuff? No.
Because I think it would be difficult for him
I don't think so.
Head coach in the NFL.
And here's the thing. The Bears' current coach already is good at that stuff at
He's
the NFL
got that
level.
Stuff.
He's Correct. Got that soft stuff. He's got the believe in me and work together and be you. Whatever he's got at the NFL level, amazingly and maybe ironically, Matt Nagy's good at that. You don't need that. You need tactics and strategy.
Well, here's where I will give Fitz, like where I do think that some of the stuff that he could do maybe does translate to the NFL. If you look at his defensive coordinator, remember, Fitz was a defensive guy. Defensive player of the year 2 years mm-hmm. in a row or whatever in the Big Ten? It's a defensive guy that's like, I'm good with handing it over to a guy who I think is great at defense. Like, I might be good at defense, but I'm going to hand it over to this guy who has his own system, and I'm going to let him run what he runs and let him completely handle it. I think that is something that you could see going to the NFL, because one of the things about Nagy is I do think that the way that he constructed this particular offensive coaching group is, to use a Rick Hahn phrase, a little insular, that these are all guys that are kind of in the same group of coaches and come from the same school. So that's where I think that he could get better. But I think about this a lot. Like, over the weekend, look, Northwestern plays an effective, boring type of football. And I enjoyed watching them smother Wisconsin, because that's what they did. On defense, they absolutely smothered them. But whenever it happened partially because of one of Fitz's motivational tactics, and he took what Joey Galloway said and he joked around with it, and it was hilarious to me that he did it. But there's always so much attention that's put on him because he has the best job, I think, in college. And I'm so glad that you brought up Dr. Jim and what they did. Like, Northwestern, you can't laugh at the facilities at Northwestern anymore. Like, that used to be a thing where you could be like, oh, well, of course Fitz is going to leave, because someplace like Louisville, they have incredible football facilities. Go up to Evanston.
It's amazing.
And walk around and see what they've done over the last 5 years.
the entire campus. It's not just the athletic facilities. The way that they have used their resources to build that place. And I happened to be there. I was lucky to have the opportunity to speak to Missy Isaacson's class up there along with Chris Herring. And just on a summer day to drive that campus, it was so gorgeous. I know our winters here are tough, but you can, I mean, if you're a recruit or if you're just a student making a choice and visiting, you know, we always have said, and now that I've been through the process with one kid, they say the most important determining factor of whether how somebody chooses a college is the weather on the day that they visit. And yeah. I will say that on a summer day with kids, you know, I stand up paddle boarding at the lake shore there, and it looked like a resort almost. It's just it's amazing that place.
Well, even in the football facility itself, that new field that they put together, even in the winter, like the way that the lake is beautiful in the winter, not that you'd want to hang out there, but you could at least tour it for 5 minutes if you're walking around. And you're like, man, this is kind of dope what they got going on out here. It's just, it's a very interesting way that we talk about him and a couple other coaches that we don't like with the rest of college football. And I do wonder, from every conversation that I've had with Fitz, and he's been nice enough that I've gone up there for when they have their combine and all sorts of stuff, you don't get the sense that he ever wants to leave. I do wonder, though, like, what would it take? Like, your scenario that you've put forth, Dan, is an interesting one because he's a lifelong Bears fan, too. Do you want that job? Do you want to be the guy who is kind of universally loved and put that in jeopardy? In jeopardy! Do you want to do that by getting $6 million a year or whatever to coach the Bears, and then if it doesn't work, people being like, you're trash. You're the worst person ever. I don't know if Fitz wants to do that. Why should he?
Probably not. You know, it's, and of course, we should mention that when we're talking about these amazing facilities and programs that they have there, do you know what it costs to an actual rack rate to go to Northwestern? If you are paying the rack rate tuition, if you have a kid right now and you're going to send your kid to Northwestern,
what are we talking, 55 G's a year?
Come on, man. What year are you living in? It is if you're talking about on-campus housing and the meal plan and tuition, you are looking at right now a minimum of $75,000 per year.
Oh, that's a lot of cash.
So you're talking about $300,000. That's minimum. That's before any spending on things and extras and travel and other stuff and upgrades. That is just to be there, live there, and eat enough to survive.
Well, then I better get that scholarship. I better be smart and decent at football so Fitz will come down and recruit me so I can get me one of them highfalutin educations up there in Evanston.
It's crazy. I mean, believe me. And I'm looking like...
Is the boy looking at Northwestern?
It's on his list. And he doesn't have an
official...
Tell him
to take it off his list.
No, they're all there. I mean, they're all that price. They're all that price. But because he keeps saying, hey, Dad, if I get into block, well, I said, look, I'll figure it out. I said, if you get in and we'll visit, and I want you to go wherever you want to go. We'll find a way. We'll make it work. But
I had that conversation.
The only problem with Northwestern for him is it's too close, and he wants the experience of being away.
Can I just offer to young Jason Bernstein this? Because that is something that he rightfully, I think a lot of young people feel that way. I want to be farther away. Mm-hmm. I will just tell you that my experience as an undergrad at DePaul, I was close, but I was far enough away.
Yeah, you know, my
life of its own.
Yeah, my daughter's best childhood friend picked DePaul, and her parents like, no, you're not living here. And she has an apartment off in Lincoln Park with friends, and she feels fully immersed in the college experience.
So but that I mean, I know a lot of people say, well, I won't go to UIC or I won't go to Illinois or I won't go to Northwestern or DePaul because I want to be far away. But once, like, it's its an own environment. So once you get there, even, I actually think that it's the best of both worlds, that you are, the proximity to your parents, your family is close, but it won't feel that way when you're on campus. It'll feel like you're 100 miles away.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that, and I think so. It depends how much of a shock to the system you want culturally, how much you want to just experience something. Like, you know, my experience, I didn't know what the South was going to be like, but it was a thing. I ended up living in the South for 5 years and learned a lot, good and bad. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I had that experience. I'm glad I was around people who weren't like me, who grew up, you know, speaking very differently. And it was almost a foreign experience in some regards. But I guess, you know, with the second, like I did with both kids, I said, you'll make a list, you'll see, you'll get your grades, you'll get your scores, you'll see what's in your cloud, and you'll find the right fit, and you'll know it. You'll know it when you feel it. And he's asking a lot of questions. And just as, you know, as far as incentive, I don't want to take anything off the table. Because when he mentions Stanford, or he mentions Duke, I don't know if he's going to end up, you know, being able to do it, but I'm saying, oh, sure. Like, you're in, at the moment, you're in play. And if you keep your grades up and stay in play for all this, and especially now that they don't know what standardized tests are going to mean, a lot of that stuff is changing. And I said, look, if we're going to fly out to Palo Alto and walk around and you'll see if it's a good fit, I want him to have it as an incentive to, it's like the difference between getting a 98 and a 92. You know,
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what my parents did, knowing damn well that they weren't going to be able to pay for me to go to some of the schools that I got into. I think they were just like, well, yeah, go ahead, totally apply for the University of Michigan, knowing what the out-of-state tuition was and knowing that they had no chance to pay for it.
That's another one on the list, too.
It's a great place. It was my number one.
The other place, he's been asking a lot about Tulane recently.
Oh, you should have a conversation with Jason Leisure about that. He's a Tulane graduate.
I had a cousin who went there, and you talk about being away. You talk about being a little different culture, a little bit different college experience. And I said, sure, go keep that. I said, that's not an easy get either. I mean, Tulane is in that next level difficulty getting in now. But yeah, I figured the incentive matters more than anything. It was different because my daughter knew, I mean, for the moment the process began, she said, I want Midwestern liberal arts.
Small
Midwestern liberal arts, not too far in the boondocks, close enough to a major city. And like, we were like, this, oh, well, here, we kind of found it. And I said, the only problem would be if you walk around and if you have your interviews and if you don't feel a fit, then we'll have to go elsewhere. But it was almost like it took care of itself. He's not going to be like that. I'm going to be racking up air miles, I think.
Okay, well, look, it can happen any way that he would like it, and he will find his tribe kind of no matter where he ends up, because I would have never thought, I say it all the time, and I say it with a lot of love and a lot of pride, DePaul was the last place on my list. It was ranked last of all the schools that I got accepted in. And I cannot, really? Yes, I cannot see what my life would have been without going there.
Huh.
Like, that's how, like, it was literally like, okay, so I've run out of time and options here because there was no magical fairy that was going to drop from the sky to give my parents $50,000 a year for me to go to Michigan, or the pipe dream of me going to Yale. You know, like, that was never, ever going to happen. And then I'm like, well, I kind of like DePaul. And now I'm like, this is the greatest thing.
Think about what it might have done for baseball possibilities too. Like, I mean, obviously you're not walking on at Michigan.
Nope. Well, no, not there. But I always joke with Theo that had I gone to Yale, I would have been working for Theo.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, not now, but at the paper. I would have been working for Theo at the paper at Yale.
Yeah, they might have been, because you were a catcher though, you're always like one step away from a job. Like, they might, once, you know, you get to know guys, you do some bullpen stuff, the coach starts to like you, next thing you know, you find yourself with a uniform. You know how those things go. Catchers and goalies, it always works out that way.
Well, wait, which Cub was like that? Alec Mills, right? Was it Alec Mills,
yes,
the guy that was just,
yes,
hanging
at Tennessee
around?
Martin. At Tennessee Martin. Yeah, he was. And then eventually, like, okay, fine, I guess I'll play. And he was there on an academic scholarship.
Right.
So he didn't have to play.
And look at him now. Isn't that great? Well, Dan, I've kept you already too long, but I love talking about this sort of stuff. So I appreciate it. It's weird that the Fitz conversation went that way, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we start looking at what it costs to go to Northwestern. That's what happens. I'm going to go check Fidelity 529 balances.
Yes, go see if you've got enough money for that. That is Dan Bernstein. You can check him out from 9 a.m. until noon. I'm Lauren Tomes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with the K, the number 4-KIDS. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
It has been my experience that they don't respect your space as it has to do with the dog. Like, oh, well, he'll calm down after 10 minutes. Well, great, I'm tense for 10 minutes because your dog won't stop barking and looking at me and licking me in inappropriate places. I can't be the, am I the only one who feels this way? Are there any pet owners who understand what I'm talking about? Because I know that there's some zealotry that goes on with owning a pet and rescuing a pet, like all of that stuff. Is it wrong, Herbie, that I call my bike a rescue bike?
Very much so.
I rescued it from Blackstone Bicycle Shop.
Don't get started on those people.
Ugh. What people? What people are you talking about?
The whole term rescue is like a self-important thing. You didn't rescue the dog. You adopted the dog. No, you're right, Herb. The dog rescued me. Ugh. God. These self-important jerks. No, you just paid money so you can have that dog. And then you browbeat everybody to be exactly like you. If people want a dog from a shelter or a dog from a breeder, stop making them feel guilty for it.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
I did get a little bit of pushback from our good friend Sarah Spain. She was one of the people I was talking about. Because she got these beautiful dogs, but I don't need them on my lap. Anyway, I'm Laura Tomes here with you until 2 o'clock. There's a lot that I want to get done today. I was not expecting the first segment of the show to be us talking about college and stuff. But let me just add this in, since we were on that discussion of college and education and all of those things. Here's a secret. And as you know, I do teach a class at DePaul University. But here's a secret. If you are not in a position right now financially to send your little one off to some place that they really, really like, there is really no shame in going the junior college route. There are some phenomenal junior colleges in our area. And trust me, get the required stuff out of the way. And then if you want to go have like college life somewhere else, like if you want to go to COD, for example, there is no shame in that.
Awesome.
Everyone
place.
Has their, what's that?
Awesome place. I went there for a couple of years.
See? Herbie, right there. My good friend Afia went to COD and learned a lot of the stuff that has her in the industry now. There's a lot of good places.
And I'll tell you that there's really nothing I learned in the 3 months I was at Western Illinois that I did not or could not learn at COD.
Yeah, but the one thing you did learn with your experience at Western Illinois is something that is worthy of talking about, and that's, you know, budgeting your time and perhaps maybe not going crazy when you get out on your own.
That thing, yeah.
Yeah, those are important. Those are important things to learn. But I am an advocate for higher education. But I'm also an advocate for your pockets.
And Lawrence, to further off of your and Dan's conversation, I've never met a person from Northwestern, Michigan, Harvard, any of these schools where I'd be like, yes, that's where that extra money was sent. I get it now. I love Julie Swyka. Love my friend Kristen Bylis. They both went to Northwestern. Very educated people. Never, I'm like, yes, I get it. I feel that extra money that you paid $75,000. Man, I'll get out of here. Go to COD and get yourself a nice education.
Right. And then you can transfer to wherever you want to go. If you want to spend your 4 years at DePaul, I'm here for it. It's a great experience, and if we ever get to a place of normalcy again, the Lincoln Park experience is tremendous. If you want to go to Northwestern, I have friends who teach there. Evanston is amazing. Like, the city itself is amazing.
Your football team will never get criticized, even when they're 3-9. It's all good. But when they're 5-0, man.
So you.